¿Quieres mejor internet? Cox Internet de 300 megas tiene las velocidades rápidas y confiables que buscas. Perfecto para streaming y gaming y trabajar desde casa. Yeah. Todo por solo $45 al mes cuando agregas Cox Mobile. Incluye equipo de Wi-Fi y garantía de precio de 2 años en tu plan. Yeah. No esperes. Cámbiate hoy a Cox. Requiere Cox Mobile Gig Unlimited. Garantía de precio no incluye impuestos y cargos. Velocidad de datos móviles se reduce después de 20 gigas al mes.
Settle down. I'm not in the mood for your crap.
KFNC, Mont Bellevue, Houston, a Gao Media station.
ESPN 97.5.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, get ready.
This is unbelievable, man.
This is horrible.
Verbal... I mean, I don't know what you call it, but you set me up.
What?
You're using a karaoke version of this song?
The video was too long and there
was
too many...
What kind of whack ass?
At least he got something close to it. It's the karaoke version. There's nothing wrong with it.
Leon like somebody, in the lounge?
This sounds like somebody made it on a Casio.
Exactly right. That's what I mean. Leon on the lounge with a Casio.
I'm going to redo it.
People get the gist. It's Prince.
No, this sucks. Turn this off and play the real
play
one.
Play the real one.
Why would you not play the...
Okay,
that is horrible.
But I have to get through the video part.
Okay, well, you had 3, 4, 5 minutes to do that. You did my man dirty.
Not really.
Yeah, that sucked so bad.
Ladies and gentlemen.
I've never hated you more than I hate you right now.
Ladies and gentlemen, the stage is wide open. If you want to dance and sing with me to 1999.
Thank you.
That's much better.
Oh, whack-ass version.
You're trying
you
to tell me that sounds just like the other one?
Busted-ass 1980s K-Tel version. Get out of here with that. That's terrible.
This sounds
that
much
different. If you do that to any of my songs, I'm going to come in there and fight you.
Night and day.
I'm going to play the karaoke version on each and every single...
We'll be fighting after every segment. We'll fight you.
Welcome to Leon's Lounge, where I like to sing with Prince hits like 1999.
I can't believe you did that.
Wow.
Look, you did it. I made it up.
Okay,
I made it up.
Thank you.
I made it up.
That was garbage.
Kind of, yeah.
Next time, ask us. Right. Hey, does this sound like it?
You know what I was actually hoping? You know how sometimes you guys have your headsets
off?
Yeah, you were hoping we weren't listening.
I was hoping you weren't listening, yeah. Then I would have just potted it down real quick and fired off the intro.
No music. What happened to me?
All right, the question I was going to ask you guys before the break, okay, because we were talking about Brady. Whether you like him, you hate him, you give him, you know, his due for being...
Someone suggested you have a crush on him.
I don't. I really don't, because I've never been a big fan of his or the Patriots, and I've said that. But I have to give credit where credit is due. But here's the question for you guys. If Bill Belichick wasn't his coach for all these wins, if he wasn't that crotchety, you know, snarky, would it have changed your opinion of Tom Brady if they were winning? Because a lot of people don't hate the Spurs the way they hate the Patriots. And a lot of people really, and Greg Popovich, just like Belichick, going to go down as either one of the greatest or the greatest of all time. And yet, people don't hate on the Spurs the way they hate on the Patriots. I think Belichick has a lot to do with that. I think a lot of it has to do with some of the cheating allegations with Spygate, Deflategate.
I think the cheating and the fact that Bill Belichick is so dry does not help the cause, but something tells me they would be hated anyway. I think it just automatically makes them hated when they're like dry. And the fact that they got accused of cheating.
But think about this, fellas.
But look at Steve Kerr. Because Steve Kerr is super
rips
nice.
People's head off on court. Mm-hmm. And he doesn't take the kind of hate that Belichick does.
So what is the question again?
Would your opinion change, or would you lighten up on any kind of dislike of Brady if Belichick wasn't his coach all these years? No?
I don't think people would. I think, again, people love to hate on a winner and a repeated winner. Somebody that's always in your face winning. And let's face it, Tom Brady's winning at everything.
People didn't hate MJ.
He's super handsome.
People hate the Warriors and Steve Kerr. Yes. Steve Kerr could not be a nicer guy. Like
exactly.
In terms of like addressing the media, he could not be more likable.
Yeah.
Like, and people hate the Warriors. So I think people hated the Bulls. There's some people that hated the Bulls.
Oh, yeah.
I think even the people that hated the Bulls didn't hate MJ.
I would agree with that. I would agree with that.
And I think
he did have an aura about him.
It's different with the Patriots.
But
isn't
I don't. I don't. I don't. I think people would automatically hate Tom Brady. And I think if Bill Belichick was in Green Bay winning with Aaron Rodgers, they would hate him up there.
That's just him being him. But
right.
But it wouldn't take away from Rodgers. So. Does it take? Why does it take away from Brady?
It doesn't. What it is it's the perfect storm of hate. You can hate Tom Brady individually, and you would hate Bill Belichick individually. They just happen to be together, so you double the hate. You hate them. You hate them both even more.
Because you see this map of the United States that's been going around social media and everything too, and they're going, here's between the two, all the states, who's rooting for who, and you have
nobody outside.
The New England area is red, and the entire United States is yellow for the Rams.
Yeah. And I think that is true. But I think, again, it goes back to people are just sick of – it's just like with the Warriors. People are sick of seeing the Warriors in the NBA Finals. People are sick of seeing the Patriots in the Super Bowl. That's all it is. It's not – because, look, there's been plenty of guys that have won and had dynasties. No one hates Joe Montana.
Right.
No one hated Bill Walsh. And they won just like the Patriots are winning now. I mean, it was always – you always saw them. But it was just the difference of, you know, Joe Montana didn't date a supermodel and he didn't do all the other things. And Bill Walsh wasn't cantankerous and mean to the media. And you use that as fuel to hate the winners even more.
Okay. All right. Yeah, I was just throwing it out there. All right, Sean, you've been holding a little bit. You want to get in here on this Brady thing. What's up?
Oh, man, what's going on, guys? I feel like I woke up and I'm in that skit from Dave Chappelle. Just part of the haters ball right now. Like, I can't believe how many people are hating on Tom. I mean, enjoy greatness. He's not going to be around for that much longer. Enjoy it. Embrace it. This man is the GOAT. So, again, let's get out of that Chappelle skit and let's stop hating so much and enjoy this greatness. And I will be watching Sunday and watching Tom win another Super Bowl. Y'all have a good one.
Appreciate it, Sean.
Tom. He should have said Tom.
Yeah, it's never going to happen. People are always going to hate on.
I mean, I enjoy watching Tom Brady during the regular season. Can I not see him in the Super Bowl every once in a while? Like, that's the only thing I'm saying. I don't hate Tom Brady. I'm just saying in the Super Bowl, people are and specifically the Super Bowl, people are tired of seeing the Patriots there. And guess who's going to be leading the Patriots every time they make it to the Super Bowl, as long as he's healthy, and that's Tom Brady.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I don't know if that guy was a Patriots fan. I felt like he's called in before, but.
I thought one of the interesting stories that they had too from the players was Hoyer saying all these years of backing up Brady and they were talking about his competitiveness, but you know how you throw the ball into the garbage can from like 40, 50 yards away and you keep doing it, and Hoyer was beating him consistently and they were doing it for money. And Bill O'Brien was the quarterback coach at the time, and Hoyer said, O'Brien pulls me aside one day and goes, you know, he's not going to pay you. He's going to keep doubling it or keep until he makes it. And then he's not going to pay you. And Hoyer's like, he kind of thought about it. He's like, well, maybe that's, I don't know. So they end the season. And he said they're getting ready for a game the following year. And Brady brings in like $5,000 in 20s and just like threw it all on top of him. And he goes, here, you win. And gave him his money. And Hoyer was like, man, he actually paid up.
Wow.
Yeah. So I thought that was a cool story.
That is fine. Yeah, because you don't think a guy like that would. Like, he's ultra competitive.
Yep.
Like MJ.
He's
just going to keep going. I've got enough money. I can outbid you on this. I can out-double or nothing you.
And I've told you, if nothing else worked, like if MJ knew it was a sport, like it was a like golf, right? He was good. He wasn't great. And I've been lucky enough to be a couple times when Michael's made some bets with some people in a group we were in.
Uh-huh.
And when he realized the guy was better than he thought, he made it uncomfortable. He took a guy that owned about five businesses and had all this money, and the guy had a 5-foot putt for birdie. Would have absolutely dumped another large money on a bet on MJ. MJ goes, double it, triple it, 10 times it right now. The guy was so shaken. He hit the ball dead right, and everybody looked and went, and Michael just started laughing. He goes, amazing what money can do.
Yeah.
Funny. But that's the competitive nature. All right, we're going to continue to roll. Hour number two, three-hour show. If you want to join us, 713-780-3776. That's the HR&P listener line. Call, text, hit us on Twitter. Back with more. It's the usual suspects, ESPN 97.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Back, hour number two. 3-hour show, way back Wednesday. I have hour number two. Artists that have performed at halftime of a Super Bowl. The songs used have to be pre-2009, and the new prerequisite is, and they cannot be the karaoke version performed on a Casio.
And you're getting murdered on the text line.
I would expect that.
I'll get to that, but we're going to take Tyler's call first. But yeah, you will get to the text. They're worth it, because you're getting killed, rightfully so.
Tyler,
what's
you're up,
fellas? How we doing?
What up, dude?
What's up, man?
Not a lot, man. Hey, man, I'm gonna need you guys to come pretty hard tomorrow with the show. I'm flying into Lake Tahoe for my best friend's bachelor party. I don't know any of his friends, but on the way back to Reno to Tahoe, I'm gonna put you guys on, so y'all need to throw down.
Nice.
So for these guys that don't know you guys, but hey, well, what I wanted to talk about was I was just scrolling through Twitter for a little bit of time, and Sean Payton addressed the media today, and he wore a little zip-up pullover, a little golf shirt, just zipped down far enough for the media to see his T-shirt. The T-shirt happened to be a Barstool Sports T-shirt of the clown Goodell face.
I've seen those.
So,
really?
I want you guys to check Twitter on that, and he obviously zipped it down just far enough so you could see the top of the Goodell's hair. He didn't come out, you know, with the just a straight shirt, but he wanted everybody to know that he has the clown face Goodell shirt for Barstool Sports. For those that aren't familiar, you know, it's Goodell with the clown nose on.
Mm-hmm.
And anybody that ever has an issue with Barstool Sports, they put their face on a clown shirt, you know, like Michael Rappaport.
Right.
But yeah, man, I wanted you guys to check that out on Twitter, and that's just, I just feel like Sean Payton's low-key going after Weezy. He just wants people to know how he feels. You know, the people in New Orleans already don't like Goodell for that whole Bounty Gate thing. But, yeah, man, hey, I just wanted to call, and I just saw that in the past 10 minutes when y'all checked Twitter and wanted to see what y'all thought about that.
Appreciate it, Tyler. I am looking at it right now, and some dude named Robert Robinson, who does graphics, says the science says yes. And basically what he did is he took a picture of Sean Payton, and you can definitely see the top of something printed on his shirt, his T-shirt, below the whatever he's wearing that's unzipped. And the guy took the graphic and put it over the top to see if it matched, and it matches perfectly. And so he says, yeah, the science says yes. So it would lead you to believe that there's about 90% to 99% chance that, yes, he is wearing a Roger Goodell clown shirt.
Bad catch by me, because I watched that entire video. Did not notice it, but I'm not big on the whole T-shirt game
I gave up on Barstool a long time ago. I used to think that those dudes were funny and it was entertaining, and the website was a great resource for us to bring stuff up on this show. But Barstool just got, I don't know, to me, it's just, I don't like it.
The Rappaport thing got out of hand.
What happened with that? I don't even know.
He used to work for them.
Okay.
And then they got sideways on something, and they started like trying to have like a diss fest on Twitter. And they let him go, and he was doing videos on Twitter ripping them. They were ripping him, and it just got to be kind of petty.
Who won? He had to win, right?
He's really good.
He's really good.
Yeah. But then everybody calls him El Presidente, but Dave Portnoy is like the head of Barstool.
Yeah.
Okay? He was the one that came up with the idea for the Goodell T-shirt. Well, he's very critical of the NFL and Goodell over the last couple of years. To the point where the NFL banned him.
Wow.
They don't want him to have access to anything. So for Media Day, Monday night, he put on a fake mustache and a hat and snuck in, and then made the mistake of doing a couple interviews with people that kind of recognized him from the Boston area. Next thing you know, they put him in cuffs, they took him out, and they were going to press charges.
Oh, damn.
Yeah, so the NFL got a little salty.
Well, I mean, I don't know. That's his job, is to
stir it up. They get attention.
It's, that just seems kind of petty on the NFL's part. You feel like they're supposed to be above that, but hey, man, everybody, if you're a human being, you got feelings. And I'm sure Roger Goodell doesn't like having his face on a t-shirt. One, I would think that it would be illegal to use his face.
Likeness?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, but the red
nose. But that doesn't necessarily mean it's Roger Goodell on that t-shirt.
That's what I was going to say. The red nose, too, throws it off because it takes a pretty big area of his face away.
It's absolutely him.
But it's not a picture. It's like a character.
Doesn't matter. Because trust me, back when the cage door first started, remember they had those wristbands that said, what would Jesus do? Mm-hmm. WWJD.
Yep.
Right? Mm-hmm. I had a shirt made that said, what would Joe Rogan do? And it was just to promote the cage door, and it had his face on it, and it was a character, and it just said WWJRD on the shirt. And then below it, it said thecagedoor.net, and, you know, tried to get you to go there. And I hit him up, and I even, hey, Joe, man, we made these shirts. Love what you do. Love that, you know, you're funny and you're in MMA and all that. And he private messaged me back. He goes, bro, you can't just use my face as a promotion for your website without my permission. I was like, he goes, are you selling those? I was like, yeah. He goes, bro, you can't just make money off my face. He's like, you can't do that. I was like, my bad, dude. I was just promoting. Really? We all admire what you do. He goes, look, I'm not mad. He goes, you're supposed to get my permission right. He goes, I tell you what, I don't care what you sell. Just take half of it and give it to charity on my behalf. Just give it to charity, half of everything you sell. If you're going to sell them, give half to charity. And he goes, I'm going to trust you to do that. Which says a whole lot about Joe Rogan as a person. Because he could have been a dick about it. And he was so cool about it. That was like the nicest thing he could have done.
But it said what would Joe Rogan do?
Yeah, it just said WWJRD on the, and it had his picture on it.
I don't know. I mean, that's,
it didn't even say Joe Rogan.
Probably we'd need a legal.
It just said WWJRD. So it didn't have his name. And the picture was exactly like what Roger Goodell's is. It looked like a drawing, like a single, it was just a single color. You know, it was black on green, black on red, black on white shirts. And yeah, he was like, no. But I also tell that story because I think it shows you what kind of person Joe Rogan
absolutely.
Is.
Absolutely. Yeah.
He could have been cool a lot enough. He could have been a lot worse about the situation.
And didn't
absolutely.
Even double check. Didn't even get back to me later and be like, yo, bro. How many did you sell and what did you give to charity? He was just like, just do that, man. Just do that for me. So pretty cool.
And the funny thing was, Portnoy, as the disguise was working, except for his hat, when you look closely, said, I love Goodell.
Oh.
So that kind of tipped him off a little bit. But he tweeted later and said, because the articles were coming out that he was arrested. And he goes, look, I will not let myself be intimidated, bullied, or harassed. If I do that, then the commissioner wins. And it got to the point where, for the commissioner's press conference, they have the people in the media are reporting that they have triple checked, including Pro Football Talk tweeted, NFL implements apparent barstool protocol for commissioner's press conference. Credentials on multiple occasions were checked closely against the person wearing them and physically touched to confirm authenticity.
Wow.
So this is getting serious.
Yeah, it really is. A couple texts before we keep it moving. My name is Taylor, longtime listener, second time texter, but to answer the question about guns firing in minus degree weather in World War II, Soviets used the freezing weather to push back the Nazis, so it's likely that they do work. Look at that. Get a little history lesson here.
I taught my daughter how to text, and that's the first thing that she decided to text the show, and she knows about guns, which scares me.
Barry, I love you, man, but you already look like a mall shooter. What are you doing owning a gun?
Wow.
I look like a mall shooter. Guys, do I look like a mall shooter?
No.
Okay, thank you. Do I, Nick?
No comment.
Bitch. Not even, like, you could have just said, not really. You, no comment is a yes vote. We all know that.
It means it's neither a yes or a no.
No comment, a neutral answer. Thank you, Joel. No comment is a yes vote.
No, you look like a serial drug dealer, but.
What?
I don't know if you look like a mall shooter.
Tom Brady's like Kevin Hart. Kevin had a minor role in 40-Year-Old Virgin. Now he's everywhere. Both came out of nowhere and now run things. I don't know about that. Kevin Hart grinded for many years.
You know the story more than
Hey, Barry, love the show. Tell Nick to put the right music in. Number one fan. Thank you, sir. When I turned on my radio and I heard Princess Cassio version playing, I thought I was listening to an AM station. Nick,
my
you got
bad.
People out here freaking out like they're on the AM dial.
You're bad, my list.
Nick put the BFI certified trash version of 1999 on the radio. That's a disgrace to one of the best to ever do it. That's from JJ. Get it together, Nick.
I redeemed myself by playing the correct version. Did you guys continue to listen?
Only because we asked you to do it.
Yeah, no, I was going to. I was totally going to play the right version.
You are such a liar.
I ran out of commercial break time.
No comment. You're such a liar because you were like, okay, fine. The video's too long.
Oh, that was your first.
When we said, this sucks, what the hell is this? You were like, but the video was too long.
What? Why don't you play?
No, I don't. Okay.
Who's watching the
video? We had to beg you.
Just
yeah, well, because
it.
He doesn't use, like, that's the only place he gets music is from you. If it ain't on YouTube, it ain't getting played on our show.
Not true. I'm on the Spotify.
Oh,
I'm on
the Spotify. The Spotify?
Yeah.
Thanks, Pop Pop, old ass man. I'm on the Spotify's. I'm out there on the Spotify's. I'm spotting them flies. I'm on the, what?
I posted on Face Pace Space Place the other day. Normally I get that hate.
Nick, I'm on the Spotify? Bro. I'm so ashamed of you right now.
Hey, half of the show gone. Still have to go. Lots more to get to. HRNP listener line if you want to join us. 713-780-3776. Call that number. Text that number. Hit us on Twitter. Back with more. And the second half of the show, it's the usual suspects. ESPN 97.5.
Your home for sports is ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
90 in the books, 90 still to go. It's the second half of the show. It's The Usual Suspects. It's ESPN 97.5. And from time to time, we like to get our man Lance Zierlein in on the show when he is not big-timing us with NFL Network and Senior Bowl and all that other stuff. So, welcome. We appreciate you. Hopefully, one day you'll claim us again.
I do claim you.
What you working on?
just got to tighten up some of the grades, just some draft tracker stuff. It's all the hard work I put in on draft profiles. They show up on the draft tracker, and so we're getting some. We had some delays, and just working with editor to get some things squared away before I get back on the players.
Mock draft number one out. Oh, so before we go any further, just plug it. Tell people where to find it.
You can find it at NFL.com or in people's trash cans on fire, which is where they also
your
put
Twitter them with, responses have been on fire.
The GIFs have been trash can fires and snarky people making faces from GIFs. A lot of stuff from The Office. There's some of those GIFs.
Well, I have a bone to pick with. I'm just kidding. Because don't you hate when like you'll do that and then somebody you know is like, really, bro? Kyler Murray 4? Really, bro?
That doesn't bother me as much as like, I got over 3,000 comments yesterday.
Holy cow. On Twitter?
Oh, yeah. That's in like 10 to 12 hours. Because when the NFL tweets your stuff, they all come. I mean, sure. All the crazies come out of the woodwork. So, you know, if I put something out there, the comments to that are going to be, there'll be, you know, some that people
70,
like.
70-30, right?
Yeah, but they're
because mostly
they're, reasonable.
They're your followers.
Yeah, they're reasonable. And then when NFL Draft, the at NFL Draft, which used to be College 24/7, that account does it. It goes up a little bit, the percentages. Uh-huh. But, I mean, Twitter's a meaner place now than it was 2 years ago anyway. I mean, it's every year it goes up.
Is it?
150%. Yeah.
Oh,
and
I
then,
know.
Once the NFL tweets it, though, with their 8 million followers or whatever it is, that's when it all goes sideways.
So I knew the first comment right off the jump when you put it out there.
One guy said my mock draft gave him AIDS today.
Good man.
Yeah. And I just said that was never my intention, sir.
I'm sorry.
When I started off with my draft,
I'm sorry.
I was just hoping to run through a predictive exercise of contingencies. I never meant
to cause your immune system to become deficient.
People are terrible.
Because the first Twitter mention you get responding to the draft, and you could tell, I went and looked at this guy because you're like, well, here we go, right off the bat, right, first one. And I go back and look, and it shows he's a diehard Buckeye. I go, so Bosa's not high enough.
Oh, no, yeah. So a lot of the hate came from either Buckeye fans, and now I angered three of the most dangerous fan bases on the planet.
Ooh.
Niner fan, Raider fan, and Buckeye fan.
Ooh, boy.
Yeah. mm-hmm. with just two picks. Really, I skipped out on. I didn't give the 49ers who they wanted. I gave them somebody they didn't want,
and they're mad. Kind at of you.
A, yeah. The Raiders, I gave them Kyler Murray, which apparently I found out they are really down with Derek Carr, which that blew my mind.
Mm-hmm.
Like yeah. Raider fans are
because
really,
their head coach doesn't seem to be.
No, I that's why I couldn't believe this. And then Buckeye fans, because I had I had Kyler Murray ahead of their quarterback Dwayne Haskins,
right.
And I had some of the most obnoxious people are college fans in general, but then college fans. During the draft, where these are like their own children. They feel like they're
right.
their children, and they want their children to be
yep.
picked to the All-Star team. They get super pissed off if you don't have them high enough. So,
have you ever thought about just having a Lance Zierlein draft account?
Meaning what?
Like that? So when you tweet it, you just tweet it from Lance Zierlein draft, and then just ignore it.
Yeah, because you know what? It does blow up my entire Twitter. Like
yeah.
my entire Twitter was a. Obliterated yesterday.
So I have an NFL.
But I start having fun with people like, and I poke back at them. And
that makes them even madder,
doesn't
it? So
the clappers don't like the clapbacks at all.
Oh, no.
Never.
You know that.
That's
hey,
a
man,
fact.
Why don't you learn to be a professional?
Yeah. Like, you're like, you told me I gave you AIDS.
Yeah.
And then when I say something, you're
in
like,
a you know microcosm,
you
that's
need
the
stop
bloggers.
Being so sensitive.
In the microcosm, that's the bloggers in Houston. They love to take the shot. But if you fire back, retreat time.
Yeah, no, they don't like it.
We've lost listeners. Well, I have.
Yeah, well, they don't like it because they think it's supposed to. You're supposed to just be, you know, fair game, like
right.
it's like you're a pinata. And then when you go back, and then if you go back with some analysis and start to embarrass them a little bit, they really don't
they
like
it. They head for the hills.
You don't have to act like you're so much smarter than everybody else. You get paid to do it. You should be better. Like, dude, just don't come at. And then yesterday. And I didn't get to bed until after midnight because one thing, at the very end of 3,000 comments, one guy really got under my skin right before bed. And it was a young guy. He's 22 years old. And it wasn't anything crazy. Actually, he's probably like 19. And he goes to Central Michigan. So Central Michigan, 22. So that's like he's probably like 19 years old right now.
Right.
And he says in his bio, it just said something about accusing me of trying to get clicks and retweets and likes or something, clout chase, I guess. And which I'm not – I never do anything for that kind of stuff. I know people who do.
I mean, but
I don't do that.
FYI, you're working for the NFL. You don't need to do that. Everyone's going to see it.
That's what I told him. I'm like, dude, I don't need – first of all that's going to happen no matter what I put in a mock draft is I'm going to have a fury, an avalanche of hate.
Mm-hmm.
This I don't need retweets, clicks. I don't get bonuses for any of this stuff. I got to get stuff done. It actually just slowed down my work over the last 2 days. And in his bio, he has aspiring front office, a future scout, aspiring front office stuff. And then I made some comment back to him. I said, well, how do you know? Like, I said, I have to go back and see what the thing was. And he made another smart aleck comment back, like a troll comment. And I just went into straight dad mode and lectured him like, you know, if you want to be a front office guy, I said, you know, usually if you really want to be a scout and a front office guy, you would take the opportunity to ask me, why did you do this? Like, what was your rationale there? I don't agree with this. What was your – because I actually will engage people who want to learn about the process. I don't mind because people don't understand the process.
Right.
And I do. It doesn't mean I'm going to be right, but I understand the groupthink. Like, the first thing you have to do is eliminate what you've been hearing and reading about Ed Oliver's going to be the number one pick. No, he's not. He's 60, you know, he's 6 foot and he's 274. He's not going to be the number one pick. I was saying that back in fall. And then as it starts to come, you know, true – But there are other narratives that are going to start to break down too. I'm breaking some of them down right now, but because I'm first to try to do it, I'm the dummy.
You're the bad guy.
I'm the idiot. So and I said, look, if you would just come to me, if you really want to learn, I said, if you really think you're being a front office or a scout, why don't you try to find out why I did something, even if you disagree with it? And he kept, you know, and we kept going back and forth, and by the end, you know, he sent a direct message about didn't mean to. Finn, I went back. I woke up to it this morning. He had gone and read some work and saw some of the videos I'd done and saw that I put time in and mm-hmm. I'm not a slappy. And
copy and pasting like somebody else.
Yeah, and he like, I'm really sorry. You know, I went and reread what I said and I think I was out of line and all this. And it's just, you know, you just have to deal with – I don't care about the dum-dums. I'm used to that. But, you know, these so-called draftniks who are just out there trolling, that for whatever reason, that really got under my nerves at about 11:50 at night.
That's the worst. I can see that because this is your grind time.
I don't need a I don't have time for this nonsense, and I really don't have time to have somebody accuse me of intentionally going. That's the biggest thing. That's the funniest thing. There are people out there, the talking heads, the FS1 shows, the ESPN shows. Yes, a lot of what they do on TV is designed to create polarization.
Sure, Skip.
We all know that's the model.
That's his mantra.
That's not a model for a mock draft. It's not what I'm trying to do, and it's not. I don't have any interest in doing. Honestly, you've known me for a while, Joel.
Yeah.
I don't have any interest in doing that on radio. I've had program directors, or you know, who want that, and I'm not. That's not me. I don't think that's. Frankly, that's nobody at this station.
No.
I don't know anybody who says stuff just to try to get responses. There have been that.
Oh,
at other
there's
stations.
Been plenty at other stations.
I mean, there's a guy in the morning, maybe. Not on this show, this station.
I know you're talking about Renato.
There was a guy that was the guy that used to work with Palillo Schtick for a while.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So on the subject of your draft, your mock draft, round one.
Yeah.
Is there, because I'm always curious, because if you're like me, I'll do something like that, and I'm never satisfied with it. Like, I'm like, well, you know, but if you know you have a deadline, you know you have to produce something. Uh-huh. Is there any one that you look at and go, you know what, I probably should have.
That's a great question.
Maybe this one I messed up on. This one should be higher, lower, or not here.
I actually feel pretty good about the early ones. I put a lot of thought into it.
Okay.
I had to rearrange. It took me about 3 hours, 3.5 hours to do this. I would say... Well, I found out today maybe my number 20 pick, Mac mm-hmm. Wilson.
Mm-hmm.
I've heard he's a little bit of a diva, and I didn't know that. I just found it out today, so I might move because the Steelers aren't looking for.
Oh, they don't need that now
in the locker room.
No,
so I didn't know that. I hadn't heard that, and I found out from and then also the Texans. I would have put. I think they will be interested in even a right tackle.
Okay.
So I think Dalton Reisner. At 30 to the Packers, I would probably move up to 23 with the Texans instead of Greg
kiss
Little.
My ass. Don't be taking players from Green Bay.
Yeah,
the other
sorry.
Thing I noticed.
And then, Ed, you know, I just have a hard time with where to put Ed Oliver because he's
had him free-falling, right? Everybody thought he was going to be top five.
Yeah, but here's the thing. Like, I'm sure people are going to get all mad and Ed will get all mad or whatever. But the fact is, I think he's one of the most – he might be the most explosive interior player that I've ever studied in terms of the twitch – and initial force.
Sure.
He's not big enough to sustain his power. So, and he's this freaky athlete because he works out with wide receiver guys.
Yeah, I was going to say, because I threw on the show yesterday, is there a possibility in the NFL, like, because Barry had brought up the great point, New England's a team that capitalizes on getting a guy like that if he falls too far.
Yeah.
But is it a possibility, instead of taking him and making him a defensive lineman like he is in college, putting him at the linebacker position or moving him around maybe more close
to
the edge?
Yeah, and that's what I said on Twitter. I think that, you know, I think he's not typically what you'd look for on the edge is like a 3-4 outside linebacker, but James Harrison wasn't either.
Yeah.
And there was a guy who follows me on Twitter who made that point, and I thought, you know, I didn't agree with it initially. I thought there's not a lot of difference between he and he's a little more compact,
mm-hmm.
James Harrison, and he was a brick bleep house.
Right.
But, you know, I put out there, and this was not met with – this was met with a lot of derision and a lot of anger about Ed being a potential middle linebacker. But when I watched him, I thought, man, he's going to run in a 4.6. He's got rare agility and footwork. He played at Houston at about 274. I think it might be easier for him to get to 260 than it is to get to 290. And he's already quick. He's good with his hands. It keeps big guys from just pounding on him on first and second down against the run. And then on third downs, everyone's like, what about coverage? He can drop and play zone coverage on first and second down. And on third down, on passing downs, I'm bumping him inside to rush with his hands.
I was
going to
say, in the middle, on those downs, he's going after the quarterback.
Yeah, so, I mean, you get the best of both worlds, potentially. You just have to think outside the box. I brought that up to a friend of mine who's in the league. He goes, although he's not in the personnel side, he said, our scout who did him, wrote him as a linebacker.
Oh, wow.
I talked to one other scout who said, he said, I don't have that area, but we are looking at him. We're giving him a linebacker grade. So I know I'm on to something.
Yeah. Now, my other I mean, we talked a little bit about it. We talked about the Texans pick and Ed Oliver and some other things. But also found interesting that who you chose at 31 and 32 gives us some insight into how you think the Super Bowl is going to go.
Well, that's not they. It's pre-selected. It's pre-selected. So you're saying that because the Patriots are 31, Rams are 32.
Right.
But it's based right now. That's the draft order based on record.
Oh, yeah. Okay. So I thought, because obviously if the Patriots win the Super Bowl, they're going to pick 32nd.
No.
I thought you had the Rams winning the Super Bowl.
No, that's based on, I like the Patriots.
Oh, do you?
Okay. You got to go? Or can you stick for one more segment?
I can stay for a little bit more.
Because I had a question I wanted to get to you about Gruden.
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, cool. All right, we'll take a quick break. Lance's going to hang with us for one more segment. Always a good portion of the show, even if he doesn't claim us. It's the usual suspects. It's ESPN 97.5.
This is the usual suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Back, one more short segment with Lance Zierlein. We appreciate him stopping by since he's locked up in his cave in the office on go time right now for you breaking down. I wanted to ask you, Barry and I were talking about this the other day, Nick, about Gruden. And I know you've been scouting, and I don't know if you were at the bowl game that he was coaching at or not. But did you see this deal where he kept the Raiders stickers in his pocket?
Yeah, and he gave guys Raiders stickers.
And he'd be like, that guy right there, I like them. He could play on my football. Man. And he's slapping them in the helmet and putting the stickers on them?
Yeah, we used to have skull and crossbones. Well, there's different. There was a PAL sticker. There was a skull and crossbones for big hit. There was a PAL for a big hit. I think skull and crossbones was the best. There was
You gave them out?
No, on junior high.
Oh, I'm saying, I know on helmets football, you get them because we're talking about the Buckeyes and the Hawks.
Michigan's got one, too.
Yeah, and Iowa's got
one. It's a big Big Ten thing. Actually.
It is, yeah.
But, it's a big team.
But the fact that he was the head coach, and I was telling Barry, he grabbed the Duke quarterback, and the Duke quarterback was trying to get away, and he literally hadn't gotten the sticker on right, so he was grabbing him by the helmet and still trying to smooth it over. I'm like, is that cool? I mean,
I don't know. With Gruden, like, I tell you what, you just earned yourself a Raider sticker is what you just did, Daniel Jones. Man, that's great. That throw was great. I don't want a Raider sticker, Coach. Hey, you get a Raider sticker. I don't like Vegas. I don't want to go.
I don't like you.
I don't like Raider fans. Just don't want to be in your old offense. Hey, it's too bad. You get a sticker, man. Take that Duke sticker off, and you're a Raider. I got the Fort Pitt. I got news for you. You're going to be a Raider. Put it
on
now,
like
baby.
It or not.
Yeah. Somebody said, Lance blocked me 5 years ago. This is from the text line, which y'all don't use, by the way, right?
You're savvy that way.
You don't use the text. Is it because you can't figure it out or you just don't care?
Yeah, just, you know, we have Twitter and I don't know.
But somebody said, Lance blocked me 5 years ago before he became famous. Can you ask him to unblock me, please?
Who is it?
I don't know. They didn't say. That's all they say.
Text
in your info. We'll see if Lance will unblock you.
If I block your cell phone, then you for sure are staying blocked.
No, on Twitter, I'm guessing.
Yeah, I'm guessing.
What do y'all think about Ed being compared to Aaron Donald? What do you think?
I hate it for the kid. I hate it for Ed. How dumb is... You
it's
know
not
what?
Fair.
Like, remember Baby Jordan?
Yeah.
Harold Miner.
Yeah.
And then Robert Horry got booed because they took him.
Houston, the city lost their mind when they took Robert
Horry
over
Harold
Miner.
Because they passed on Baby Jordan. Robert Horry has like 14 rings and Baby Jordan has like 14
games.
He got ringworm once. And that was how he ringed. But number one, have you seen the picture on his Instagram of Aaron Donald? Aaron Donald looks like a bodybuilder. Aaron Donald is tremendously ripped, dense, and powerful.
Has Nick seen it yet? Because if he hasn't, got to give him some time because that's his thing with Nick.
Is that his thing?
Yeah, he'll tell you when a dude is cut.
Oh, yeah?
He'll let you know. He's in that
locker
room.
You're going to like it. You need to search.
He's like, Kenneth Faried, man.
That guy.
I block his shot.
He's
if
got
you know
size
what I mean.
And ripped.
go look at this.
Swish, baby. Swish.
But no, it's. I don't think it's fair because he doesn't have the power that like he was a freaky powerful guy at the Senior Bowl. He whipped everybody, and he could anchor in. And it didn't make sense at 284 pounds or whatever that he had that kind of anchor. But he has just outlier power that is highly unusual for that size. So people make that comparison based on Ed being
freakishly
undersized.
Athletic, though.
Yeah, he's
the
very
athletic.
The athleticism
is where I think Ed gets the credit.
Yeah, but it's not fair because you don't say Aaron Donald, a power is a part of what makes him what he is. That guy had 20 and a half sacks. Ed had 13 and a half sacks in 3 years. Aaron in Donald had 20 and a half. Yeah, in the AAC.
That's a good point.
Aaron Donald had 20 and a half this year. He had 11 sacks or more twice.
20 and a half, but he was getting double teamed by NFL linemen.
Yeah, and he had 11 sacks in college twice. It's not fair to keep throwing this name.
Yeah.
Aaron Donald at Ed Oliver. You're going to put outrageous expectations on him.
Yeah, it's not fair, but I think that's we always have to do that. I mean, I don't know what it is about sports, but you're always going to compare somebody to somebody else, Jordan, and like we always have to figure
that
out.
I have to do NFL comps.
Yeah, even now when you take Clowney,
but be accurate when you do it, right?
Clowney because he was in the same draft class and taken up in the top with Mac and Donald. All of a sudden, he's supposed to be the same player. He and his agent would like you to believe that he's the same player. He's not the same player.
No.
Speaking of a guy that rushes the passer that'll drop back in coverage and play a little linebacker, but probably shouldn't be, Jadeveon Clowney's a guy that has to do that on occasion. Mm-hmm. Would you say that Ed Oliver has a better chance of being successful doing something like that than Jadeveon Clowney
is? Oh, yeah. Anytime you're that size as Clowney, I don't. The only time you want him in space is when you're tricking people with zone blitzes. Yeah. That's it.
We appreciate it, man. We know you're busy, so always a pleasure to speak a little bit with you. That's Lance Zierlein. You can catch him on the bench in the morning right here on ESPN 97.5. For us, hey, it's The Usual Suspects. Back with more. Coming up next, the Mappers will join us.
ESPN 97.5. Please stand by.